Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Guy from V says, these negotiators can't even negotiate with their own side. Yes, that is a problem. They're going rough with these negotiators. One of them has been killed on the suspicion, apparently, that he was a Russian spy. Some other negotiators poisoned. I don't think from the Russian side. What we learned today is that a bunch of negotiators, including the billionaire, what's his name, Abramovich, something like this, the owner of a club of sports, has been also part of those who were poisoned as part of negotiation processes, but it doesn't look like it's from the Russians. It looks like this happened in Kiev from the Ukraine side. So the forces inside the Ukraine side are hard to understand, and they are self-contradictory. And I think it's why we get a lot of mixed messages. And the mixed messages also touch Russia. Because Russia, 2 days or 3 days ago, they said, we're now entering a second phase of the war. We will concentrate on the south. But I'm looking at the bombardments, and they continue to bombard Lviv, western Ukraine in general, and northern Ukraine. So it looks like nothing has changed. So I don't know what's this statement from Russia. Is it just a red herring to lead the attention away while they continue another plan, which they're not revealing fully? Or is it just that they are so delayed in communicating with their front lines that their updates to their strategy takes a couple of days before it happens? It's possible. Puzim says, Abramovich is dead. No, he's not dead, but we learned that he has been poisoned as part of his involvement in the negotiation process. Yesterday, I took a break because I've welcomed some great furniture into my home. Me and Mama JF are pretty happy. This new oven and this gigantic fridge, it is much bigger than what I had. It's a Samsung. I'm very happy about it. I finally have some place to put my Diet Pepsi, because for 3 years now that I've been with Mama JF, she occupies the whole fridge like Vladimir Putin occupies Ukraine. It leaves me very little space, and I've not experienced just drinking a Diet Pepsi from the can cold for 3 years, and I missed that. And I made a multiple $1,000 expense just so that I could get my little corner of Diet Pepsi that remains cold. Because what you can do, of course, what I was doing is I was keeping my Diet Pepsi hot, I mean at room temperature, and I was putting it with an ice cube. But this leads to a lot of loss of the bubbles, and so it's much less pleasant. But that's the only way I found, because Mama JF packs the fridge by just packing it. I mean, to the point where it's a wall of things. But this fridge is big enough that she won't be able to pack it. At least I hope I won't let her do that. Look at this. All around cooling, super powerful, beautiful, and extremely spacey. Everything is maximized for space here. There's no gadgets. No water distributor. I insisted to take a model that was fully spatial maximization. Grapes Coda says, those are some nice appliances. How are you powered, JF? Panels and grid? Just grid? Just panels? No, I'm powered by a wire that brings electricity, because there is no way that these solar panel options right now are viable, interesting, or economically advantageous. So no, I will go solar when I can save money doing so. As long as they're giving me this crap panel and they're costing $10,000 in installation fees and they need to redo your entire electric panel, and the solar panels are losing efficiency every year, give me something. Give me something that is worth it. I would love to have solar panel, but the industry sucks. I hate it. It's based on the assumption that you have to pay a little more for your solar energy. It's like, where has the idea of competition gone? It seemed to me that it would have been easy for solar power if solar power could have been generated at an interesting price. It can't. Right now, I'm waiting for the developments of the technology there. And Ominous has sent a super chat during the night. She sent $10. Thank you so much. She says, always late to these things. UK time plus. Okay, so Anne Ominous is not a girl because he says his girlfriend was here for the weekend. But then he says, but currently watching the Islam debate, it's like watching a naive seal being clubbed by weaponized autism whilst trying to understand what's going on. I actually feel pity for Nadir. He had no idea what he was walking into. Yeah, it's the thing is I destabilized him by sending him all of my arguments like 15 hours before the debate, because he had sent me about 24 hours before the debate. He sent me what he intended to do as ar arguments. I sent him a text with all of my arguments in there. And so it's not a random thing that you see him in the debate pulling grasping straws. It's because it's all he had left. I decided to be super honest with him so that he could prepare. But what can you do when you've been saying for many years that, oh, this is a novel thing in the Quran, it's impossible that it comes from other source, it comes from a divine source, and then you have a French guy who comes in and says, here's a source 500 years before saying the exact same thing. How is that exceptional for the Quran to have reached that conclusion since it was already reached 500 years before by someone else? And isn't it possible that the people who wrote the Quran may have read other things? Of course they did, because they had access at least to the Bible. They had access to Jewish text, Judaism, Catholicism. So they had certainly access to other texts too. So why wouldn't they? And anyways, it's not because in the Quran there's ants talking with Solomon that this needs an explanation based in plagiarism or science. It's like just the idea of an ant talking that is omnipresent in all sorts of stories, oral traditions, written traditions. It's like I pushed myself to a higher threshold. I kind of went into the game with Nadir here and said, oh yeah, it's what a discovery. Ants can talk. Let's see when that discovery happened. So I played naive a little bit because the reality is, if an ant in a story, in a fictitious story, an ant says, oh, my friend's ant, run, run before we get crushed by Solomon. That doesn't require a scientific explanation, and it's not a scientific miracle to have written this. A 2012 article, Food Project proposes Matrix-style vertical chicken farms. Architecture student André Ford has proposed a new system for the mass production of chicken that removes the birds' cerebral cortex so that they don't experience the horrors of being packed together tightly in vertical farms. That is disgusting. The thing is that there's something to be careful here with. You don't know that the brainstem and the rest of the spinal cord cannot feel stuff. And if it so happens that it can feel stuff, but it's deprived of its cerebral cortex, so it can't act on it, you may be raising chicken in a constant state of fear and suffering, but you wouldn't know because the chicken will be unable to react and to escape and to solve the situation. So let us be very careful. Although, this thing I've done in my PhD thesis, we were always removing the higher parts of the brain so that It's considered within science an ethical thing to do, so that when you do experiments on the body or the spinal cord or the brain stem, you presume that the animal is feeling nothing. But let's not forget that it's a presumption. If you were to do this to billions of chicken, just know that they may be suffering and you'll never know. If it just so happens that the brain stem centers are capable of generating emotions and are part of the emotional machinery of animals, then it's not because you've removed the cortex that you will have resolved this. In fact, you may have made it worse because you've created an animal that suffers but cannot escape the suffering. I want to get to the news, and including the Will Smith, apparently. Will Smith has slapped Chris Rock in a live Oscar ceremony. We can have a look at this. We can have a look at the wire updates. But I wanted to come back to 2 days ago. Edward Dutton came on the show, and I appreciate that he came, and it was good to be able to exchange on what is his view of spiteful mutants. I'm happy that he laid it out in this way, but I need to conclude because I've had time to think about it. And when I'm an interviewer, you know, I'm not challenging to the point of destroying the other or to completely deny everything they say. I'm just trying to poke and test. But now that I'm alone tonight, I have to say my conclusion after talking with him is that the concept of spiteful mutant is a misleading, false and poorly scientifically constructed concept. First, it seems that it has changed. He even admitted that he has kind of changed his formulation of what it was. Okay, that's bizarre. Very rare in a properly defined scientific variable will you have to change it eventually, change what it means. This is something you do in science education, maybe. You know, you reframe something that's been true before and it's still true, but you found a better way to educate people about it. DK Shadow says it's just kin selection extended. No, it's not even this. Because Edward Dutton questioned about what the concept is, said it's people who are mutating and are developing evolutionary behaviors that advantage them as individuals to the detriment of the group. Now, that is not even kin selection extended. It is the selfish gene. It is, I mean, Richard Dawkins talks regularly in all of his writings about the potential that group phenomena may be drained, may be attacked by rising forces of parasitism in society, which is precisely why he rejects, or at least I wouldn't say that the modern Richard Dawkins rejects it, but certainly. There was a Richard Dawkins once that rejected whole cloth group selection and species level selection. It's because, among other things, but it's a strong part of his argument. In fact, even a stronger part than my, because my is a broader argument, but his rejection of species level selection and that kind of stuff, or race level selection. Or group selection and tribe selection is that if there was any sort of generosity, altruism, or care developing within a group, some people could evolve and find a way to drain that care without giving back to the group. Those would be the parasites and they would win. Eventually, everyone would be a parasite and there would be no more group altruism, if you will. Now, that is basically what Edward Dutton described. Dutton describes leftists and, you know, the modern SJWs, and he says they are extreme individualist and they are caring for their own interest at the cost of the group. There's the and then I ask him because I wanted him to specify, and he ends up saying the fitness of society. And I've been arguing with some of his fans in my comment section on the show, and they do say this. They say the fitness of society. Well, there's no such thing as fitness of society, because the word fitness in evolution means a very precise thing. It means the number of babies that would have survived to the point of making babies, basically. It's a mathematical representation of the average survival and expansion of the viability of the presence of a given gene, if you do it at the gene level, or a fraction of your genes if you do it at the individual level and you're studying a sexual species. There is no such thing as fitness for society. What's the fitness of Tennessee? What's the fitness of Paris? What's the fitness of Apple Corporation? These things don't reproduce. And even if you could do a poetic metaphor case that there is something reproductive in the system, you will have infinite levels of dissociation possible from the group. What if Apple was to become another company? Would it be Apple making a baby, or would it be Apple being destroyed? What if Tennessee was to, I don't know, split into five different parts? Would these five different parts be children of Tennessee? Would they carry the genes of Tennessee? And I don't mean the genes of the people forming Tennessee. They would carry them. But would the smaller cities or states built from Tennessee, would they carry a genetic inheritance from Tennessee? No, they wouldn't. And it boils down to this. The only thing that they would carry, these parts of a group that gets scinded, the only thing they would carry is the genes of the people that form the group. And that's why we always go back to a selfish genetic perspective. And that is why you can't say the fitness of society. What the fuck are you talking about? That is it. So I have to reject in full the concept of Edward Dutton. I'm super happy that he was honest and laid it out in full. But it's like there's no way to get into his brain and make him understand that there is a fundamental error here. And there is. Philosoraptor sends a super chat on Odyssey. Join me on Entropy if you'd like to send me super chats tonight. The link is in the description below. You can use Entropy to support the show through super chats, and you can answer our survey question tonight. Is Russia moving away from attacks on the North? That's what they said they were doing, but that's not what they've done. So I'm wondering, is it a case of mixed message, and what do you perceive in this message? Are they fooling people and they will continue their plan, or are they just slow to implement this second phase of the plan? You can also send super chats through Odyssey by clicking the support button. They have a great option for USD and credit cards. What's the most accurate? That's Philosoraptor's super chat. He says, "What's the most accurate tool to test my IQ? Will the test be less accurate if my English is not at a native level?" Well, the perfect tool for you is the Raven Matrices test of Mensa. On the website Mensa, let me try to find the link for you. This is not the right one. Mensa IQ test. All right. Here. As far as I remember, this is a good one. All right. So there's in the regular chat, the link is there. Breaking MPP Randy Hillier to surrender to Ottawa police after supporting Freedom Convoy protest. I know it's the Freedom Convoy is a old thing in the news, but they're starting to arrest. I mean, this is a guy who's elected. He's a competitor to Justin Trudeau and others. He's an independent parliamentarian. So he's an elected guy, and just for supporting the freedom protest, it seems that the police is arresting him. So we're going to have a politician, so Justin Trudeau, a politician made special rules, special laws to capture people who were opposed to him. And in doing so, he's capturing the political opposition. What's the difference here between Canada and all these crappy places like Ukraine? There was this event on the Oscar ceremony. I think it's interesting. It's the whole question of, you know, can humor even operate in this this environment of safe spaces? Because we have Will Smith making a crisis here because a joke has been made about his wife. But, I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm too 90s, but in the 90s, it seems that one style of humor was to be at a bar and just like accuse people of being fat and laugh at people who were in the room. People are saying it's fake. Spindly Opinion says, I thought it was a funny joke. Is it? Okay, so you guys think it was scripted? Let's have a look at what was said here.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it, all right?
So he's making a joke. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it. Because this girl has no hair. She is the wife of Will Smith. And I don't know, maybe... Is it a good joke? Not a superb joke. So she has no hair. She should be G.I. Jane 2. Relatively weak. It's like... I need more edgy than this to start laughing. So there's the little supposed discomfort here. Because the reason she has no hair is she suffers from lack of hair. She has the medical condition that means lack of hair. And so... I don't know, people are finding this. Spindly Opinion says, does JF know why she is bald? Well, yeah, she suffers from alopecia.
That was a nice one. Okay. I'm out here. Uh-oh. Richard.
Oh. And Will Smith gives what seems to me to be an honest slap. You guys are saying it's scripted. I mean, it could be scripted, but he gave a good slap. I mean, this is not a faked slap. I think that Chris Rock was shook a little bit here. It's not a slap to the point of knocking you out, but it's a decent slap as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, wow! Wow! Will Smith just smacked the sh** out of me. Wow, dude.
I see true emotion in the face of Will Smith. This is a man who is pissed.
Dude?
Yes.
It was a G.I. Jane joke.
Keep my wife's name out your mouth!
I'm going to, okay?
How can he slap? How can he slap? DK Shadow says it's called acting. I don't know. I mean, if this is scripted, I don't know. It's a little awkward. I don't know if Will Smith had an interest in designing such a script where he would be physically violent and pissed like this. That seems a little too much to me. So I'm going to believe that it was kind of real. I mean, of course, these people are professionals. So, you know, when you're in entertainment that you can overplay it, you know, that you can exaggerate and it's good for the show. So maybe they knew they were in that state. But to claim that it was all set up in advance, I don't think so. Go Ledge says, of course, Rock was waiting for it. Will Smith was approaching him. He was ready. Well, the thing is, Chris Rock cannot do much other than just wait and see what happens. I mean, you're there and you're like, you're on the stage. You have to keep the show going. You're not going to run from a professional colleague like Will Smith. You're going to just stay there and think, you know what, if he slaps me, that's a lot of attention on the internet. That would be great. Which is exactly why, by the way, Chris Rock seems shook at first and eventually says, this is a great moment of TV. Now he says it and everyone can feel it's very awkward because it's not that great of a moment of TV. And it's kind of self-interested to say this. It's like, okay, you've just displayed physical violence as a means to resolve a situation about a joke. And you think it's great TV already? It's like, you haven't even taken 5 seconds to be a victim. And you're already like, oh my God, this is going to be good ratings. John Drake says, Jeff never watched wrestling growing up. It was a work. Well, I know wrestling. I don't see the same thing as wrestling here. I don't know if this is true. Those are claimed to be the faces of the people reacting in the room. But I don't know. I mean, Matt Damon, he always has this face. How do I know if this is his face at the moment of the slap or because Matt Damon is always like this, like, oh, Oscar winner, Matt Damon makes this face. Oh, Chris Rock gets slapped, Matt Damon makes this face. Fractal Man says, I don't care enough and who knows, it could be fake, but it looked very real. It also didn't serve the interest of either actor. Yeah, that's it. It's not a pleasant position to be in. New Nation sends a super chat and he sends a paste bin so that he can express his idea in full. Thank you so much for supporting the show, New Nation. He says, Dutton's ignorance to evolutionary theory is likely causing him to think he's creating a new concept when he's just incorrectly restating portions of the selfish gene. Academia isn't perfect, but understanding some fundamental concepts, such as evolutionary theory, is essential to having an informed opinion in a domain. Do you think the right-wing skepticism to academia and education can create echo chambers of streamers who do not have a backing in biology or any of the other sciences, such that something like Dutton's ideas can become popular among his followers who will continue to remain in the dark on evolutionary theory and other academic concepts? Yes, those are very interesting questions, extremely important. I do believe that the internet environment is not perfect to avoid creating false hopes and false impression and gathering thousands of people potentially listening to you and misleading them totally without even knowing it at times. So yes, there's a danger to the internet. The problem being, I don't have an issue facing the music. Like, if I had stated anything in my book that someone else would say, Jeff, I have an argument about this book, I think you're wrong here, I would have actively seeked to be confronted to that idea. And most importantly, I would have to change my idea if something was demonstrated to my standard as showing that I'm false, that I'm wrong. But you have to do that work, and the internet will not necessarily force you to do that work. So that's a problem. Now, for someone like me, not that big of a problem, because I always enjoy contrarian ideas, including contrarian ideas against my own statements. But, you know, someone can get monetarily rewarded for not being like me. And certainly the internet is not as a whole a replacement for academia. What I tried to do What I tried to do is to build a little section of it that could be kind of a replacement for academia. I would have loved if the future was made of debaters, scientific debaters, philosophers who would take positions, who would fight for a space between themselves and who would win or lose based on their ability to express their ideas and to win. But unfortunately, this didn't happen. And because of censorship, because of the fighting against truth, because of the circle jerking and the little social circles that develop on the internet, it's basically impossible at this point to have a kind of central hub for intellectual honor, the kind that Bloodsports could have become. Too bad, now people are isolated in their bubbles and they will end up, yes, hearing a video about spiteful mutants and think it's a new concept, when the right term for it is parasitism in altruistic societies, and that's how it's always been referred to. And in fact, you can't take the view, that's another thing I haven't mentioned about Edward Dutton that I have issues with. So first, fitness doesn't exist at the level of the group. But secondly, there's nothing that distinguishes the SJWs, making them not care about some form of society. See, he points to them as being individualist. But ultimately, the mob formed by SJWs is as collective as Tennessee, as Apple Corporation, and as Paris. And so you realize that there's just alternative modes of phenotypic governance. This is what you have to understand. There are ways to build society. Some of them there's a little more control. Some of them there's a little less control. But all of them end up forming collectives, unless you're talking about a ultimate anarcho-primitivist, like radical, that would go isolate themselves in the wood and really talk to no one. If you're not talking about this, you're talking about politics. You're talking about society. And you're talking about forms of altruism and parasitism. New Nation sends a regular chat on Odyssey. He says, I love your attitude toward embracing someone to challenge your theories. Academia sucks, but the hard work you did for your PhD gave you an endurance from surviving leftists that some right-wingers remain avoidant of. Thanks for the great reply. Well, thanks to you. New Nation says, Kaczynski's take on leftism being hardcore collectivism in the face of them being unable to win the game of life as individuals seem to be the most robust take on leftism, not what Dutton said. I absolutely agree. So there's so much confusion brought by these concepts that I'm afraid I have to reject the whole thing. There is nothing in there that I see to be original, creative, or useful. Federal pressure on big tech to censor COVID-19 misinformation violates the Constitution. The public government campaign to pressure big tech platforms such as Twitter to crack down on supposed misinformation violates the U.S. Constitution, according to a new lawsuit. U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy has repeatedly pressed Twitter and other platforms to suppress COVID-19 misinformation. Very interesting. So we're going to have a lawsuit with this argument. That is a good development, very positive, because there's been in censorship such an indirect attack on the First Amendment, and indirect only in the looks, really, where you have Jen Psaki, White House representatives of all kind, they don't have the right to control my speech, but they go on the public space, they go onto mainstream media, and they keep hammering the point, social media needs to censor more. They were doing it on an everyday basis, and not just on COVID-19, on political free speech also, and Trumpism, and a lot of things that are related to Trump. And at the end, this is a law of Congress abridging free speech. because the White House operates under the designation of the Constitution and of Congress. Their activities are funded by Congress. And so you can't have them on the payroll and basically making political pressures in the public sphere to lead to more censorship through the actions of private corporations. Grapes Coda says, Jeff, couldn't it be argued that the mutation occurring is on their discretion with whom they form their collectives? They form collectives with those who are genetically distant and promote behaviors that are anti-natal. Even that point, first, if they are truly associating with foreigners, there's two things. One, the arrival of the foreigners will eventually lead them to have to choose, will they reproduce with the foreigners? If they don't reproduce, then they will be outcompeted and outnumbered. And so that's just self-destructive behavior, and that's eliminated by evolution. Or two, they will reproduce with the foreigners. They will truly follow up on their alliance with the foreigners, you know, these people who like foreigners more than themselves. But if they do reproduce with them, then the foreigners are not foreigners anymore. Then the leftists could be said to have formed a group of genetic interests that extends broader than the societies that they are birthed in. So, yes, Lindahl says, and ultimately we'll start a new race. So even that, xenophilia, the love of the foreigner, even that is a group behavior. It's just not the group you're thinking. And this is precisely the problem. This is precisely why group selection is rejected by hardcore evolutionists and people who know what they're talking about. It's because the group isn't even defined. Okay, Tennessee is your group. What about Tennessee plus JF? Is that a group? Yeah. I mean, JF could do, we could have the JF Tennessee Alliance. And what if I go in Tennessee and have 20 babies? Am I now part of the group Tennessee? Are all of my actions having more or less impacts on the evolutionary fitness of Tennessee? It doesn't work because the group can be redefined from one individual to a million individuals and everything in between, and even combined with other individuals outside of the territory. Groups are not defined as evolutionary units because they don't replicate, or if they do loosely replicate, it will be through baby making, basically. Okay, that there may be some people leaving Tennessee to create a society that is Tennessee-like in Africa. Okay, good luck first. But secondly, that thing doesn't carry, the new Tennessee of South Africa will not carry then anything that wasn't carried by the genes of those who made that seeding event. M. Graves sends a super chat on Odyssey. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, happy to give a super chat after all these years. Your book arrived today. Well, isn't that wonderful? There are still people just discovering the revolutionary phenotype. That's wonderful. In fact, the sales are going extremely well, so I'm happy. I don't know anymore what causes these sales, but I see waves and it's very interesting. So yeah, mixed messages from Russia, who told us 2 or 3 days ago that they would concentrate on the South, that this was a phase two. And I thought maybe this shows that maybe for a moment I thought that the pro-Ukraine people may have been right. Perhaps Russia was weakening. But then we look at the actions and I look at the videos of the strikes and the sirens and the air raids and the damage, and there continues to be lots of action around Chernihiv. There continues to be bombardments around Kiev. So it doesn't seem like any significant change of strategy has happened. And Firestarter says, why would Russia tell everyone their plan? Maybe that's the thinking. Maybe that's what it is. A source with direct knowledge has just confirmed the Wall Street Journal reports that Abramovich suffered symptoms of poisoning. Roman lost his sight for several hours and was treated in Turkey. So I titled it Targeted by Poison Attack, but they also mentioned that it could be either poison or some sort of electromagnetic radiation type of stuff. So I don't know which one it was, but we've seen it happen in the diplomatic field. It's quite stunningly common. But I don't think it's Russia. I don't see Russia doing this. First, what's the interest of killing the negotiating table? Worst case scenario, you don't want to negotiate, and so you just lose their time. But given that this side has been so dirty, the side of Ukraine, that they came to kill one of their own, I wouldn't put it against the... I wouldn't put it below the... I wouldn't put the Ukrainians above doing that kind of stuff. I think they could very well be doing this kind of stuff. Perhaps there was a sub-part of the team of negotiator that wasn't reaching the right conclusion. They might have shown too much openness to Russia. That would be what I expect, given that this billionaire, Abramovich, was a big... he was rooting for peace strongly. And so if you have a subsection of your negotiating team that is less peace-oriented, that is more interested at aggressive takes and basically making demands that cannot be met by Russia, these people could very well have decided to attack their own team. Today, Russian forces abducted Oleksiy Konovalov, a deputy of the Enechesk Council, from Servant of the People, the vice chairman of the Kherson Regional Council. Sobolevsky writes on Facebook. He adds that Konovalov was arrested at a checkpoint because he was on a Russian list. So the taking of institutional representatives continues in the south of Ukraine by the Russian forces. By the way, we're seeing the behavior on the side of Ukraine. We're seeing factual reports and videos that are completely disgusting. I cannot show these videos. But just to give you a summary of what we've seen for the last 24 hours, we see an Azov battalion militant attack a harmless guy, accusing him of being a Russian collaborator. Without due process, without evidence, we see him just slash his throat in the stairs at some apartment. Absolutely disgusting war crimes here. The torture of your own side, the suspicions that are not proven. This all amounts to me to massive war crimes. I've seen a video, absolutely disgusting, of the Russian battalion, the DPR battalion, so a kind of battalion that DPR sent along with the Russian forces. They take control of a basement. They find a civilian woman of the Ukraine side that was probably killed hours before. Probably what it looks like is they accused her of being a Russian collaborator and they killed her. She even has a swastika just tattooed on her belly, probably not tattooed permanently, but just printed on there as if they tried to launch a signal with her body. Absolutely ridiculous, but it seems that what it was, because there was plenty of badges and flags that indicated that this was a basement controlled by the Ukrainian army and the Azov battalion hours before. They leave behind this dead woman that they probably killed, and they painted the swastika on her. What else? I mean, we've seen video emerge of harmless Russian soldiers that have surrendered. They are being taken out of a van, and very intentionally and very cruelly, a guy appears to be there, and it appears to be his job because, you know, they carry the Russians there. They shoot each Russian soldier that gets out of the van in the leg, and then they let them bleed out and probably die on the floor. Or if they don't die, it will be on their own because they get zero medical care. So just absolute torture, just for the fun of seeing, instead of killing your first, they wouldn't be able to kill them because it would be a war crime if they kill them. But it's even worse. They kill them slowly with the intent of seeing the suffering on the Russian side. And they film this. I mean, we get the videos. John Drake says, shot in the kneecaps, very painful. Yeah, and of course you're going to lose a lot of blood eventually up to the point where you die. So all of this is the dehumanization of the Russian is extreme. I've never seen this in my life. I've seen the anti-white hate. That's a thing, and there was dehumanization in it. But the dehumanization that we're seeing has reached levels that I've never seen before in my lifetime. Probably the last time this happened, this kind of high-level dehumanization to the point where you want to see the other side suffer that much, that vividly, and you feel so shameless about it that you're fine having it on video. That probably never happened in Europe since World War II. This kind of human life doesn't matter anymore, and just torturing is fun. This is very worrying because I think it will expand out of Ukraine. I think the discourse of the mainstream normies is getting radicalized in a way. And they were going after us, accusing us of radicalizing. But no, what's happening is there's a radicalization of the mob, of the whole, of the mainstream, that leads to the point where on the ground level, the soldiers want to see their enemy suffer so much that they're willing to just shoot them as they are prisoners of war. But no one is going to investigate this, right? You have the whole statements of these Western countries that kept saying, oh, Russia's war crime and Vladimir Putin is a butcher. Where are the statements denunciating the war crimes that have been committed right on camera in the last 48 hours? It's not like you need further proof. It's on camera. It's happening right in your face. And the guy is just, boom, 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 let's shoot some kneecaps. And it's not emotional. It's like he's been doing it all day. And not only do you see him shoot three new soldiers that have arrived, but there's like a line of, I don't know, maybe there's hundreds of bodies behind him. And they all, on the same modus operandi, bag on the head, bleeding from somewhere, probably each of their kneecaps. So this guy was kind of an industrial producer of just pain for prisoners of war until they die. Not a single Western country, at least as far as I'm aware, not a single Western country, not the White House, not France, not Canada, not a single person in acting as an official of a Western nation has denunciated the fact that there is prisoner of war torture happening right now in Ukraine. The mayor of the besieged Ukrainian coastal city of Mariupol, Vadim Boychenko, has stated a few minutes ago that the downtown center of Mariupol has fallen to Russian forces, though there is still heavy fighting throughout the city with Ukrainian military and paramilitary forces. So Mariupol downtown is increasingly under Russian control. That is good news. There are probably pockets here and there in buildings, and we've seen the modus operandi of the Russian side. They are advancing groups of 5, 10 in a tank, and they're just shooting at the windows when they detect a sniper or some Azov battalion guy remaining in the building, and they're advancing and progressing through Mariupol. Oh, this is disgusting, but look. People have sent me this on Discord. Famous Brazilian singer hospitalized for holding fart whenever she's around her boyfriend. A Brazilian singer suffered severe stomach pain allegedly due to holding farts for too long whenever she's around her boyfriend. Why are you guys sharing this on the Discord? Do we need to know that kind of stuff? It seems like a personal matter here. Russia-Ukraine talks to resume. Kiev says won't cede territory. The fact that they were taking place in person at all for the first time since an acrimonious meeting between foreign ministers on March 10 is a sign of things to come, of positivity. This we've heard before. Kiev says they won't cede territory? Are you kidding me? There won't be territory left to cede once Russia accepts this. When they say we won't cede territory, do you realize what it means? It means we won't cede even Crimea, which has been under the control of the Russians for since 2014. That's what they mean. They want to reclaim Crimea. They're not realistic in their, like, give something to Russia. They're saying their goal is to get a ceasefire. In what interest would Russia want a ceasefire if they're progressing? See, they were in Crimea in 2014. They were in DPR, LPR in 2014, 2015. They are in Mariupol today. What is the interest of Russia to sign something that would deny their progression? That would not even give them something like Crimea. And now Ukraine's talking point is, oh, we're ready for neutrality now. But for now, whenever they've been saying this in the negotiation, it's been, we're ready for neutrality, but we need a defender country, and that defender country could be the UK. But that is a NATO-type deal. And I understand that it wouldn't be a NATO membership, but basically, from the perspective of Putin, what that would mean is, well, the UK is basically the Ukrainian army now. So if he was to have a conflict with Ukraine, the UK would eventually be able to bring forces in. It would be great to have a rival to Twitter that could end up eating its lunch. People are commenting on a Elon Musk tweet that was saying, given that Twitter serves as the de facto public town square, failing to adhere to free speech principles fundamentally undermines democracy. What should be done? And it seems that Elon Musk is considering yet another Twitter alternative, or some people were speculating that he wants to buy Twitter. Okay. Very interesting considerations. I would want him to do whatever he can to develop an alternative to Twitter. But as people point out, Grapes Coda, Gab exists. The problem is people don't want to join the second thing. They all want to be at the top, and they all want they don't want an alternative to Twitter, really, because as you say, Gab exists. So they could have their Twitter alternatives right now. They want a Twitter alternative that would be bigger than Twitter. That's what they want. And they don't want the awkwardness of being presented with contrarian thinking. And so they're kind of comfortable with the TOS of Twitter, you know, keeping them from too much confrontation. That's what's happening. There's a kind of silent collaboration around, oh yeah, we're for free speech, but you know, Twitter, I'm being left alone. People don't insult me because anyways, you can't insult on Twitter because your insult inevitably will fall under a TOS category. And so there, N, Gab is perceived as too small, and so you wouldn't get a sufficient voice. So they're happy with Twitter, really. They're not like Andrew Torba, you know, feeling the absolute need to develop an alternative. They wouldn't die to develop an alternative. But if Elon Musk can do something that weakens Twitter, I'm all for it. So in the end, it boils down to this. If you are the enemy of my enemy, we are friends. Consequences of the shelling of an oil depot in the Kiev region. So again, you know, the bombardments are continuing. And this was a smoke rising in the Kiev region. Doesn't seem to me like a fundamental strategy shift. Days after Biden hailed NATO as more united than ever, a split emerges over talks, over talking to Putin. And now on Monday, NATO allies are said to be split on whether they should talk to Putin, which also comes after weeks of France's Emmanuel Macron coming under intense pressure for being among the only Western leaders willing to hold frequent phone calls directly with Putin seeking de-escalation. Macron, it should be remembered, was the first to criticize Biden over the US president's remarks, suggesting US policy is now regime change in Russia. We shouldn't escalate with words or actions, Macron said. I hope that France and Germany understand, as Bill Gates phrased it here, that this is not a war against Russia for now. It's a war against Germany. And in fact, it's a war against France. And it seems that Macron knows where he stands there. Because basically, America, for what appears to be or what is ostensibly declared to be, basically moral displays, it is trying to force other countries into its strategy, which is a total demonization of Putin. And this demonization cost little to the US compared to what it cost to Germany. Because the escalation of the war or the sanctions make Germany closer and closer to receiving no gas eventually from Russia and having its economy crumble. So it's like the US is asking these countries with fundamentally different interests to behave like the US. And that sucks. Chernihiv today after bombings and shelling. Destruction in Chernihiv. I don't know what that is. Was it bricks? We're seeing buildings, residential buildings destroyed. The back door says, I had a Twitter account when it was first created. It was mostly bots reposting / boosting journal shit. Nothing has changed. No normal people. I now use Twitter, or I no longer use Twitter. I don't know what he's saying. But yeah, it's a sad place. I'm refreshing it only in the Kiev category so that I can get the latest video from Ukraine. But other than this, the people on there are the NPCs of the internet world. The Times, Putin tells he will trash Ukraine after receiving note from Zelensky. According to the Times, Russian oligarch Roman Abramovich claimed he presented Putin with a handwritten note from Zelensky outlining the terms Ukraine would consider to end the war. Tell him I will trash them, said Putin, according to Abramovich and the Times in response. That is very interesting. It's hard to verify this. It's certainly not something that Putin said publicly. But there's a claim that Putin would have said, tell them I would trash them. And it's bizarre in the circumstance where it seems that there was a kind of the escalation in this moving to phase two ID. But perhaps I have the wrong ID. But on the one hand, they're saying, okay, we will concentrate on the South. But on the other hand, they would be saying, tell them I would trash them. Mixed messages. Tillman says, Jeff, the buffering today is almost non-existent. Great job to the Odyssey crew. Yes, I knew that it would get better, so I'm super happy that you report this. Steven Robinson says, Jeff, women can still make fun of short, bald men? No? Oh yeah, I mean, there's a whole chivalry aspect to the whole Will Smith conflict. Of course, there's the whole idea of, oh, a man defending his woman. Yes, there is this aspect, and it doesn't happen in the other direction. That's true. Horse Feathers says, Mike, the headless chicken, April 20, 1945 to March 17, 1947, was a male Wyandotte chicken that lived for 18 months after his head had been cut. Holy shit, you guys are weird. You guys are following the history of this, and you're like sending me these historical statements about it. Unbelievable. Russian occupiers, well, they called them the Russian occupiers because it's the Kiev Independent, kidnap another Melitopol official, according to Melitopol Mayor Ivan Fedorov, who was released from Russian captivity on March 16. Russians abducted Irina Sherbak, Melitopol City Council's head of education department. Oh, perhaps we'll have some review of the a review of the the courses and the material for the year. Perhaps Vladimir Putin will be making his changes to the curriculum. Very interesting. Pilot of Russian Su-35 downed near Izium, ejected and was captured by the Ukrainian military. That must not be a good position to be when you've been driving the planes, bombarding a side, and then this side captures you. I'm showing this one because they are not violent to him. Yeah, it's shocking. It must be extreme anxiety to be. They could kill him the way they killed so many others through shooting their kneecap. What else do we have on the war news that we've talked about already? Oh yeah, so the one Azov Battalion video, where there's an Azov Battalion guy accusing someone else of being a Russian collaborator, and he's killing him, just slashing his throat. There's people on the internet who seem to have identified who that person is. And very interesting. I will not show the picture because I cannot confirm. But it seems that this guy has been identified. So hopefully he can be found, and because there's all these psychopaths who are benefiting from the fact that there's a war and the chaos around it. They use it as an opportunity to just kill people, and it that's what it looks like to me. So this guy needs to be caught. Lawmakers introduce a law banning pro-Kremlin parties in the Ukraine. The bill proposes to ban a party if it supports Russia and its proxies involved in Russia's war in Ukraine, justifies it, calls it a civil war, denies occupation. Such parties' assets can be confiscated by the state. Wow. So if you were to have, let's say you're on the Ukraine side, and if you call the conflict a civil war, you cannot have a party in Ukraine. So if you had the option, hey, you know, yes, the Russians came in, but let's not forget that there's been a conflict between us, the Ukrainians, and the ethnic Russians in our own nation. So there was kind of a civil war element to this war. If you say this, you are an illegal party in Ukraine and they could seize everything you have. Wow. Documenting the arrival of Russian SUV in the vicinity of the capital, Kiev, in what appears to be a preparation for a different type of battle in the coming days that will be closer to the Syrian war, fiercer and more destructive. So we've seen a new setup here. Just a Rambo-style machine gun mounted on a pickup truck. I love it. I mean, this is reduction of cost at its best. This is military genius. Why are you carrying around these million-dollar tanks that can get blown by a javelin? Like, it's so wasteful. It's so heavy. I drive a Mirage, okay? I bought my Mirage 2022. I'm super happy with it. Low consumption. I could invade, like, Kherson in the morning, and then I could be in Lviv on a single gas tank. This is what you need. Now, they didn't go down to my option. They didn't go for the Mirage, but at least they're down to pickup trucks. Now, this is fuel efficient. Of course, you're not going to do anything amazing. It's not going to protect you enormously, but were you really protected in your tanks? You weren't. Because when you're stuck in a tank, they will eventually put so much fire around you. They're going to blow your tracks. You're going to be stuck and you're going to be just as dead as the guy just Ramboing it through with pickup trucks. So all in all, a good progression. And you know, it's headed toward a greenification of this war in terms of reduce your fuel consumption, think about the environment, and be more efficient. Fractal Man says, you can also do a lot more damage in a tank. Maybe you can, yeah. But the question of what will the tank do? I mean, at this point, we're faced with an insurrection style. I'm carrying around my men pad and my javelin. I'm a strong Ukrainian independent person. So you're not going to shoot these guys with a tank. You might shoot bags that they've built, like fortification positions, okay. But really, by the time you get to these fortification positions, they're going to be gone. Just like we've seen in Mariupol, the Azov battalion guys, they are just abandoning their bases and they're dressing as civilians. The most important clothes that they have is not, you know, we've seen that they have badges from the Azov, badges from the official Ukrainian army. But what they have that's the most important is when they start dressing as civilians and run away from their base, completely burning their stuff, not bringing ammo, destroying the ammo, and they're just blend in the civilian population. So you're not going to deal with this problem with a tank. You might be able to deal with this problem with a pickup truck. You can't make this shit up, says Coach Red Pill. By the way, Coach Red Pill is not doing mentally superb because he's suffering from both anxiety and you know, nervousness and boredom at the same time. That's how he describes it. He has learned today that basically he cannot leave Kharkiv and that he's going to have to endure this war on his location. He cannot get out. It's too dangerous. And he's going to have to wait that one side or the other wins. And so he's currently stuck with his food reserves, whatever they are. And he says he learned that the situation is so violent around him that he cannot exit the place that he is in. And I think it relates very much to the violence being done on the Ukrainian side, on their own people, to intimidate them, to, you know, detect basically the traitors. And of course, Coach Red Pill, having been identified in this because of his opinion as being so pro-Russian, At this point, Coach Red Pill cannot go outside because he's going to get caught by one of these knife-wielding Azov Battalion type of guy, and it's going to be a problem. But that being said, the Coach Red Pill has published this. Hilarious. ADL defends Ukraine's neo-Nazis. They don't attack Jews or Jewish institutions. Oh my god. He's in an article called "Why is Putin calling the Ukrainian government a bunch of Nazis?" He seems to explain why Ukraine's neo-Nazis aren't so bad. The Anti-Defamation League, the leading pro-Israel lobbying group in America, published a Q&A defending Ukraine's neo-Nazi groups on the grounds that they don't attack Jews or Jewish institutions. This is one of the most beautiful developments this year, because it shows ultimately what this whole network of, you know, let's pursue anti-Semites and find anti-Semitism where it is not, and basically let's go after any of our potential enemies, even people who make the thought crime of questioning the Israel regime or its interventions in military in the Middle East. Ultimately, they're really interested about one thing and one thing only. Are you talking in a way that we like? Are you talking in a way that advantages our side or not? And if you happen to have the neo-Nazi aesthetic and you're white, and you're part of a violent activist group, kind of paramilitary group, it doesn't matter as long as you work on our side. This is so liberating in a way, because it kind of removes a pressure. Because this whole let's pursue the white supremacy everywhere and see it everywhere angle is now relaxed a little bit. It's like, okay, there are situations in which you kind of like white supremacy, don't you, ADL? Don't say gay bill signed by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signed a bill on Monday that forbids instruction on sexual orientation and gender identity in kindergarten through third grade, a policy that has drawn intense national scrutiny from critics who argue it marginalizes LGBTQ people. I enjoy that this is coming, but it's so weak. We're talking about not doing LGBTQ propaganda before third grade? What happens after third grade? There shouldn't be any LGBTQ propaganda in any grade. It should be that you can access LGBTQ propaganda when you're 18 years old and you buy a subscription to the LGBTQ cable TV channel. That I wouldn't intervene. But there shouldn't be any of this in schools. And yet, we have here a right-wing populist governor, Ron DeSantis, and all he can do is third grade. Third grade is what? 8 years old? So you will be exposed to LGBTQ propaganda after 8 years old in Florida. John Drake says, of course, JF, they are pragmatics. Principles aren't part of the equation. Concerning the ADL, yes. But this whole, I'm going to just take on my everything that advantage my side without any consideration of principles. Long term, it's not good. You have to stand for something. Even I, a moral nihilist, I stand for many things. You have to have a defining thing that says, here are my limits. Here's something I wouldn't do. But I don't feel that we're in front of a crowd here with the ADL. I don't feel that they're in that mood. Record Pentagon budget includes $6.9 billion for European Deterrence Initiative and $682 million to assist Ukraine. Okay, money being given away to a country where there will be eventually, if they have their way, if they defend Ukraine to any significant amount, it will only be kind of this distant country that will be a ground for our politicians and their children, like Hunter Biden, to go be corrupt there and make even more money there. Mayor Adam pledges to tackle crime that has turned NYC into a laughingstock. Well. Yeah, they were in the defund the police thing. They have a wave of crime. They were down to defund the prosecution at this point. They were like, let's release violent criminals unless they've committed like 3 crimes at least. Let's release them onto the street immediately with the bail laws and stuff. So yes, now they're back to, well, you know, we can't let people constantly be the victim of crime. It totally ruins your businesses. You don't prosecute theft anymore. Your businesses can't hold stocks that are available to the public. So you end up destroying your entire community. I mean, NYC is quite far gone. I don't think that this guy will solve this problem. I think they will do whatever they do will be too soft. More details about Hunter Biden tax evasion probe emerge. Earlier this month, we reported blah 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 blah. So what they're saying is that there was a whole loan thing that was annoying, because Hunter was basically saying, all right, loan me money, and it's a loan, so I don't have to pay taxes on it. But then he wasn't reimbursing, so it's not a loan. It's really a bunch of Chinese people just gave you money, and that would be an income. So it's a little trick for evading tax, and the investigators that are talking about potential prosecution of Hunter are saying to the Wall Street Journal that they had questions, that in the interview of Hunter Biden by whichever police service, it was to ask him questions about the state of his intent concerning this money passing to his account. Did he really believe it was a loan, or did he take the money and basically it's an income? Fractal Man sends a super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show. We're doing amazing with Odyssey. People are supporting the show through Odyssey, and we are rolling into the future with a functional show, and we'll have guests and we'll have intelligent conversation thanks to your generosity. Fractal Man says, do you have any thoughts about the housing market in the US? It seems home sales are dropping, but that seems to be due to a lack of supply. Will we see a repeat of 2008? It's a good question. I'm not the right guy to fully trust me. So what I'm going to say is really my feel of it. So the house price in the US and in like Canada also, is overinflated right now, ridiculously overinflated. So what's happening? Why is that? I believe that ultimately a lot of people have pulled out massive gains from the Bitcoin domain, which has led the market to be flooded by people who had millions of dollars and hundreds of thousands of dollars to buy a lot of houses. And on top of it, it was just not just the everyday guy with $1 million, but it was the big, big companies that were just hoarding real estate. These prices, unless there's like major inflation and major rise of the standard of living and major rise of salaries and the economy, these prices are not maintainable in the way they are. But that doesn't mean there will be a crash immediately. Because I'm looking at Bitcoin right now. It's been doing good for 4 days now. Foundation says your broadcast is very blurry, losing broadband. No, my broadcast is not blurry. You may be receiving it blurry, and that's because Odyssey has probably switched you to a lower quality. That's because of your internet speed. My internet speed is infinite. I have optic fibers. I can upload at something like, what was it? 700 Mbps? Like almost a 1 Gbps? I'm powerful. I won't show up as blurry, but you may receive me as blurry, and that's because your internet sucks. Going back to the super chat. So, unmaintainable in the current scenario. However, let's keep some scenarios in mind. Perhaps society will go so insane, the Fed will start saying, all right, we're going for a massive inflationary period. We're going to print massive amounts of money, do all this social welfare. You know, the US government on their side would be basically giving that money away to everyone. And you could end up in 5 years from now where there's not been a house market crash, but instead there's been basically a super hyperinflation in the US, and now lettuces cost $20 and you could arrive there. But the default, if that doesn't happen, and I don't think that will happen, then we're down to the housing market is due for a crash. And so then the question is, when will it happen? Because even these big companies, even the you know, these big investors, these firms that accumulate millions of houses, their problem is they haven't quite realized the extent to which it's a problem owning houses like this and having renters and the whole complication of even running a renting operation. And they have requests and you have to care for them, and they have these little repairs they need to be done. It's all extremely, it's a sewage. And if you get into it, you lose a little bit of money and you lose efficiency. So the ultimate truth is that these investments cannot sustain the demand. The demand will not follow. Eventually, people are going to live in very small apartments and just simply not occupy those big houses if they come at too high of a price on the rent. So, and people are in dire economic circumstances, barely making by with the increase of the price of everything. They don't have money to invest in houses. So the market has to crash. But will it crash immediately? I don't think so, because I'm looking at Bitcoin and perhaps we are in for another inflationary wave of excitement that is economically unjustified, but that where the stock market will re-rise, Bitcoin will re-rise starting today, starting this week. And perhaps we'll get to even higher highs, even higher all-time highs for Bitcoin. If that happens, you're going to have another wave of people selling Bitcoin, making plenty of money on their Bitcoin, and buying houses. And then the crash will happen. So my answer to you, and I'm really not a professional on this, so you're really listening to the feeling of a guy on the internet. My instinct is the market will crash. It could have crashed this month or in the next 6 months, but because there's a possibility of over an excitement on the market and a re-rise and Bitcoin reaching 100K, you might have actually a sustainability of this market for a limited period, perhaps up to a year. That's my analysis of the situation. We might be in a crash in 1 or 2 years from now. That is it for tonight, Buzz. Stocks jump, gold and oil dump on report Russia abandons the denazification demands in peace talk. Well, the denazification demand, Of course, they were going to abandon it because it's not even enforceable. It's a ridiculous demand. It's kind of clownish, but kind of mimetically interesting. But of course, it was the one demand that they would step back on, just to say, "Oh yeah, we gave you a little bit. You give us a little bit," because you cannot be another country and impose some other country not to have Nazis. And Zero Hedge was titling as a joke. They were saying, "So Nazis are okay now?" There's no way Russia could have ensured that there would be no Nazis. How do you do this? I mean, of course, if there was some battalion like the Azov battalion, they could rename themselves tomorrow morning. If you were to say, okay, we recognize the Nazis by this sign, and this sign. Well, they would do everything they can not to check those boxes. And they would be like, okay, we're not the Azov battalion anymore. We are the Azazazo battalion. They would reframe it, rename it. There was no way to enforce this. So, of course, that was going to be a concession, a so-called concession. But I think also that Russia is just satisfied with its demilitarization. They're satisfied with the work that they're doing already in Mariupol and other places. They're basically cleaning the place from anyone who would be an actor of resistance of the Ukraine side that would oppress the Russian ethnics. So they're doing it. So they don't need Ukraine to commit to it in a constitution. Jonathan Dow says on Entropy, is there an example of phenotypical plasticity or phase polyphenism in humans similar to grasshoppers changing into locust? I think you had sent me this article before and I had given my answer. But let me reread to be sure I remember what I had said. Locusts are grasshoppers that can form dense migrating swarms through an extreme form of density-dependent phenotypic plasticity known as locust phase polyphenism. We present a comprehensive blah, blah, blah. Well, so this is all laid out very complicated in a very complicated manner to say something that is extremely simple. The behavior of insects changes when they're in a locust. It's like they have specific behavior when they are in masses. So yes, that makes total sense. Now you're saying, is there something equivalent in humans? Well, there's what they call, you know, the madness of the crowd, these psychological studies on how do humans behave in crowd. What is the psychology of the crowd? But none of it has been properly described as far as I'm concerned. I mean, you can also think of religious movements, collective movements of all kinds, politics. They're all really swarm behavior of humans. That's what they are. There are swarm behaviors. So the locust, when they fly together, they have characteristics A, B, C. They will play their wings differently. They will place their whatever differently. We also have locust behavior. We behave differently when there's people around. We behave differently when there's a whole crowd. And so, yes, there's probably plenty of human evolved responses to being in groups. Among other things, something that I will be talking about on the moral signal, the anonymization of the group. You know, if there's enough people, some of your actions can be performed without anyone eventually catching you for it. So we see this in Antifa kind of troublemaking sphere of all kind. They use the crowd around them to use the opportunity of anonymity. That is one example of a locust behavior in humans. Is Russia moving away from attacks on the north? Two people say yes, three people say no. I'm not sure. I don't have a strong opinion on this. Tillman says, JF, I think that is because the ADL said they are good people. Well, basically, that's the ADL. Today, the ADL said there are very fine people on the neo-Nazi side. And they were crucifying Trump for saying even less than this. Because Trump wasn't faced with a paramilitary group. And the simple fact that he could say there are very fine people on both sides had led him to be crucified, but ADL can. Jonathan Dow says, Jeff, yes, swarm behavior in humans was the core of the question. Thank you for the considered response. Reference to the moral signal is exactly where I was inspired to ask the question. All right, wonderful. Bye-bye, sleep well. I'm going to enjoy my fridge. I'm going to go open those massive doors of my new fridge and just breathe in the clean air that is cold.